Welcome back to the Deeper Dive podcast. We're continuing our look into Hebrews. I'm Associate Pastor Lanier Wood, Covenant Presbyterian Church. Glad you're joining us again this week. I'm definitely a little late on the trigger on this one, but the good thing is, well, maybe if you're a small group leader, you're hoping to go a little bit deeper, but you're getting to study it with your class, your small group, hopefully dig this into your lives a little bit. And maybe it's going to come to you this way and that you're going to be able to come back to it and just think through things. Hebrews 4 is actually a continuation of the argument that the writer of Hebrews has put before us in Hebrews 3, where he makes argument that Moses, God had appointed him to bring his people into rest, and they did it as a servant. And so the people got a little bit of rest, but Jesus does it as a son. And the difference between a servant and a son is that Jesus does it as if we're his own. He owns it, and he owns us, and his rest is a better rest. The gospel rest is a better rest than all the rest that God gave to Israel when he put them in the land and gave them the temple, gave them the law. You know, rest is a difficult thing to come by most days. I think in a lot of ways it's because there are a lot of things that we try to rest in, but that don't work. I remember teasing this out with my college students who were just always, at least they told me, busy. I thought this would be different maybe when I got into the church, that people would actually be busy. And we're always all busy. And for people like me that still have a lot of time to work out, play golf, do fun things, it's interesting that we're always telling ourselves that we're busy. I think it's because busyness is something that we think will give us importance. See, the lie isn't whether or not we're actually busy. It's that busyness will make us feel satisfaction. And the reality is that it's one of the most obvious lies. That busyness, what it does, is that it's this lie that sucks enjoyment out of our lives. And it's the interesting thing about weak faith. See, faith in your busyness, here's what it does. Weak faith always lives up to its own strength, or rather, its own weakness. And really, I think this is some of the point of this passage in Hebrew, that it then sucks the rest out of life. And what God is offering us is rest. And it's one of the hardest things for us to take, both because there's all kinds of lies we believe, but also because one of the regular lies that we believe is that we need to be busy. And he starts with a warning, right? He says, while this promise remains, let us fear lest anybody of you had judged to fail to reach the rest. That is, while God's rest remains, don't go after other things. So how do we take it? Well, it's not by busyness, obviously. Maybe it's by understanding what it is. Your rest is actually, this is what verse 1 and 2 are telling us. Rest is at odds with sin. I mean, we have all different kind of definitions of sin, right? Transgressions against the law of God. That definition is, I think, accurate, and it's actually a pretty full definition. But sin also can be defined as unfaithfulness, or perhaps more accurately, as faithlessness. And in this faithlessness, part of what it reveals is that we have faith in things that do not give us rest. That obedience in God, that living in God's design, that living in relationship and trust with God is actually the means to our rest. And when we live outside of God's design, guess what we're going to experience? It's called dissonance. like the waves and it's like two different waves colliding. We're not at rest. I mean, this is the obvious, there's obvious dissonance to sin, right? We're out of accord with God. That's what Psalm 95 reminds us of, and it gives us this characterization, this hard-heartedness, that our hearts are hardened. Think of the picture of something moving in, a piece of Play-Doh being moved together. God's Play-Doh's moved against ours, but ours is hard, and you can't mesh those two things together. God is meshing his heart and his character to us, but we can't rest because we're hardened. That hardness keeps us from rest. You know, really obvious picture of this is addiction. Addiction is a story of a lie that if I take this thing, it will give me more peace. If I smoke this, it will calm things down. If I drink this, it'll take away the burn. But what addiction does is it takes away. It numbs part of our lives and it hurts families and communities around us. Sin, what it does is it believes a lie of rest, but it brings chaos. But also, think an obscured dissonant. This isn't so much our act of rebellion. It's actually where we make sin small. It's where we shape God's will around our desires and then ignore the consequences. That is where we kind of shape and try to reshape truth according to our version of truth. It's a sin of selfishness, of love, of self-love. And it works itself out in all kinds of different ways because it doesn't seem troubling and it seems good and things will seem like love, but it's not love in God's terms. And when we try to love, when we try to seek beauty apart from God's terms, we end up in conflict. We end up in unrest. And here's what I think these things are revealing to us about how we enter into God's rest. That we enter into God's rest with humility. That is, instead of seeking rest by putting forth our version of truth, we undo our versions of truth. We undo our missions of self-justification in order to receive the goodness of God's justifying us in Christ. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. I'm going to say Paul every once in a while just because I'm used to saying that, but Hebrews is keeping together unbelief and disobedience and hard-heartedness. They're not all different and separate things of rebellion against God. They're part of those same things. Of not living in rest and hope in God. Look what it says in verse 8. It says, if Joshua could give them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So there's something else he's saying is that not only that, but it's not simply just plain disobedience that keeps us far from God. It's our inability to obey that keeps us far from God. So that disobedience is connected to unfaithfulness and faithlessness and missing and trusting in who God is. And obedience is connected to faith, to trusting God, to entering in, to slowing down, to receive what God has for us. This is the other thing. Rest is necessary for you. I think almost 3 through 10 can be read as an argument towards that. That you rest. That's why there's this warning. It's built on this foundation of Genesis as well, that we are made in the image of God, and that God, when he made man, he made him on the sixth day. And then what did he do? He rested and he called him into rest with him on that day. That rest is necessary. And God's promise to Israel was bringing them into something that they needed and that they could not provide for himself. And it's the same for us. So when he calls us to be strive to enter that rest, right? So that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience, what does he do? He leads us to his word, verse 12. He leads us to the word of God, to something that is living, it says. That is, it has a life in and of itself that you don't define or make or can make happen. Pastors don't have to preach it up like we say. The word is its own, and it's active. It works. It's kind of repetitiveness to this, right? And that it's sharper than any two-edged sword. That its work is a painful and surgical work to bring us to rest. That is, that it's a taking off the lies that lead us to unrest. I think we should expect that when we enter into God's rest, there's going to be an initial moment of that surgery. The waking up on Sunday morning, the getting out of bed before maybe we would, so that we can Sabbath rest with God. The doing our homework the night before. The putting down our phones to not answer every call from our coworkers. I mean, to search and to seek for God's rest, for God's word to work on us, there's going to be this surgical, painful reality at the front end of it. But at the back end is going to be gospel rest. God's going to do work, it says, look, on our hearts, our souls, our spirits, joint marrow, saying the very inside of ourselves, discerning our thoughts and intentions. That is taking away the false stories of rest in order to give us his. And here's how his rest will work. It's how we know rest is meant to work. Is that his rest makes you stronger. I kind of, maybe hobby, always am giving people fitness advice, just pursued and read. I always tell people, it's all off the internet though, so take it for what it's worth. But one thing I'm sure of, and that people don't do a good job of, myself included, is taking rest days. But when you come off a rest day, you're always stronger than you were before. Rest is part of how the body rebuilds itself. And I think it's imitating a design of God that's also part of our souls. That our souls have to rest. The lie of busyness is not going to make you satisfied. Only gospel rest in Jesus Christ will satisfy you. So what are you resting in? What is it that you're hiding from God? The front side of rest is going to be painful. It's hard to make that decision. It's hard to sit down before the word. It's hard to rise up. It's hard to begin to pray. But real rest begins at the moment that false rest is cut away. And that only happens through prayer. That only happens through the word. That only happens through preaching. That only happens through the sacraments. That only happens through fellowship with other believers. Go to those places. Start to uncover gospel rest.